Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Hebrews 4, 15. I want to share with you tonight how blessed you are, how blessed I am, how blessed the world is, and they don't even know it. I know that you know it, and I want to share with you to give you reinforced hope on what you do know. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So the writer of Hebrews is making a statement that we have a high priest that understands what you're going through in your life, what you feel. Everything that you've ever encountered, all the infirmities of your life, in times past, present, and in the future. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So let me talk to you tonight about our high priest understands our weaknesses. Our high priest understands our weaknesses. Now, I've seen as well as happened to me as well. Playing sports, I like to play sports. I like to go hiking. I like to go walking. But I have twisted my ankle, popped a knee, and I have gone down to the ground. Anybody ever experienced that? Sure you have. And it's painful. It hurts. My point is that we all, every one of us in the side of this sanctuary tonight, those that's watching in by streaming and all humanity, as far as that goes, we all have stumbled at one time or another. Not in sports, but in life. In morality, honesty, integrity. We've all done our best, only to trip and fall. That's human life. That's reality. As much as you try to be good, there's times that you're not going to be as good as you want to be. As time as you try to be as perfect as you can be, there's going to be moments that you're not that perfect. Our finest efforts sometimes has left us flat on our backs. We're weakened, not with torn ligaments, twisted ankles, popped out knees, but with broken hearts and weary spirits, fading vision. The distance between where we are and where we want to be is impassable sometimes. God, how can I reach that level? How can I reach that point in my life that you'll be happy? Most importantly, where I'll be happy. There's a lot of people that are striving to make God happy in their lives, but they're not happy with themselves over their past mistakes, their failures, their difficulties. So what do we do? Where do we turn? Who do we talk to? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 tells us we have a high priest who is able to understand. And since he understands, we find mercy and grace when we need it. We are not left to languish. The devil wants you to languish. The devil wants you to fall and never get up again. The devil wants to torment your mind, your spirit. Wants to tie you up into a knot where you cannot unloosen yourself or think that you can. People will stumble. But I'm going to tell you one thing, you're not abandoned. You may fall, but you don't have to lie there. Why? Because God gets us. Now that statement in itself is a powerful statement. God gets us. He gets our humanity. He gets our fallen nature. He gets that. Theology textbooks, when you start studying theology, discuss this promise of a high priest under the heading of incarnation. When you're studying theology and you're studying about the promises of God and God coming to this earth, comes under this one heading called incarnation. One of us have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John wrote about that in John chapter 1 and verse 14. That word became flesh. God became flesh in the form of Jesus Christ. He was miraculously conceived, yet naturally delivered. Scratches your head on that one, doesn't it? Miraculously conceived, but naturally delivered. He was born, yet born of a virgin. Had Jesus simply descended to earth in the form of a mighty being, great stature, 8-9 feet tall, superhuman being. I am God. I've come down to check on my creation. We would respect him, but we would never draw near to him. After all, how could God understand what it means to be human if he came down in this form of this mighty God? But Jesus was born. And when Jesus was born, Jesus was both God and man at the same time. Then we have the best of both worlds. We have the eternities coming to earth. Earth beholding the wonders of its creator. And when we look at this, neither his humanity or deity was ever compromised. I'm telling you that as the church, the born again, is blessed. The world is blessed. Even though they may not know him, they have the opportunity to know him. And they have the power to be released from that which has them bound and contained and seemed in its unimaginable suffering of mind and spirit. This world is a mess, and it wasn't God who made the mess. It was Satan. It was, in the short term, we call him the devil. You say, oh, you really believe in that stuff? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I have had the moments where I've had to take on that spirit. I'm telling you, it is real. It is real. He's given us the power and the weapon of his name and the authority of his name. Amen. All things are subject to the name of Jesus Christ. Even every devil, every fallen spirit is subject to the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? So when we look at the fact of God, who so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believe upon him should be saved. Now the situation is that you've got to believe that he is. You can say to the devil, get thee behind me, but if you don't believe in the authority of that name, he's going to stick around. Here is another little point about that. You got to get rid of him, but you got to want to get rid of him. Here's a known fact. You can pray someone through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you can cast out devils out of a person's life, but before they get to the back door, they can reach in and pick those up before they walk out the door. Resist the devil, and he will pet him, and he'll hang around a little while longer. Resist the devil. And he will what?
Flee
from you. When God came down and wrapped himself in flesh, he was fully human and fully deity. Because of the first, because he was deity, we draw near. Because of the latter, we worship him. Why did I worship Jesus? Because it was God manifested in the flesh. It was God who so loved the world that he gave. He came to give. Jesus said it this way, I've come to do the will of my Father. What was the will of the Father on the flesh? It was to be that supreme sacrifice for all of humanity. So because of the first, his deity, we draw near to him. He's God. And because he was human, we worship him. And the fact is, he was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Such is the message of Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 16. Would you put that on the screen for me? Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 16. This is a powerful, powerful group of scriptures. Why? Because he explains who and what God was. Who is the image? Who's the who? It's Jesus. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Spirit. God is spirit. Spirit is invisible. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. Verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. All things were created by him and for him. Who? Jesus Christ. That flesh? No, who was inside of him? Who dwelt in him? It was the eternal divine spirit. Jesus said to Thomas, when you see me, you see the Father. But if Jesus was born, God and man, at the same time, then we have the best of both worlds. We had the divineness and all that goes with that. Amen? Yes. Amen. Not one drop of divinity was lost in the change to humanity. He was fully God, fully man. Not one drop of divinity was lost when that transformation took place. Through Jesus appeared human, actually God. The fullness of God, every bit of him took residence in the body of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. So when you're worshiping Jesus Christ, you're worshiping God. Amen? When you invoke his name, you're invoking the supreme authority. That's why the devil has to yield and surrender space. Why? Because God created Lucifer, Satan, the devil, Beelzebub, whatever you want to call him. He is a creation that God made and is subject to his creator. You see, Jesus, being God, manifest in flesh, he was a star maker. But for a time, he was also building cabinets in Nazareth. Born. Why was he born? Why did God choose to enter back into the world in this form? Why, as a baby, was he born? Because he can experience every minute detail that you ever have experienced in your life. from the time of birth until the excruciating death on the cross of Calvary. Now, church, what I'm telling you tonight is this. Don't ever think that God does not know where you're at or what you're going through or what you're feeling. You say, well, I'm sometimes tempted beyond measure. No, you're not. I tell you who was tempted beyond measure. It was Jesus when he was led up out of where he was at and into the high country, the hills, where the devil came and tempted him. There's no temptation that's ever taken you that has not taken him from the standpoint of being tempted. Sometimes you think you can't get rid of your problem. I'm here to tell you, yes, you can. Why? Because Jesus knows your suffering. Every so often, Jesus let his divinity take over. How do you know that? Well, because the scripture tells us that bystanders had no option but to step back and ask. In one occasion, they sat back in Matthew 8:27 and said, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Jesus, while walking on this earth, the representation of God, though he came to die at the cross of Calvary for all the sins of humanity, there was times he could not hold back his divinity. Restored sight. Virtue had flowed from him, from a woman who had an issue of 12 years. There's times in your life, let's bring it on up modern day, here in the 21st century, there's times in your life that you don't know what to do, and all of a sudden God makes a way where there seems to be no way. He opens up a door, it seems the door is closed. He heals the body when it seems like you could not take another breath. You're so afflicted, near death it seems like, and God intervenes because someone begins to pray for you. When two or three begin to pray, something begins to happen when they begin to agree together that God is able to do this one thing. I'm thinking the followers of Jesus might have had similar thoughts. One day Jesus commanded the demons to leave the possessed man, and they did. Everybody say they did. Who was standing around? The disciples. On that day, Jesus told the storm to be quiet, and it was. On the day Jesus told the dead man to rise up, the dead daughter to sit up, the entombed Lazarus to come out, and he did, and they did. Why? Because Jesus said it. Let me tell you what else he said. Ask anything in his name. Faith, believing, and my Father will do it. The same spirit that raised me is going to be in you. He said, not too many days from hence, the same spirit is going to be in you. Power of God in your life. What a mighty church. Amen? Can I say, you don't have to always look back into the Bible and say, well, that's what they did. And we sit around and we hope that it might happen to us. Ah, the promise is unto you and to your children. Amen. No wonder no one argued with Jesus when he declared, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," in Matthew 28:18. No one argued that. There's nothing in the scriptures that someone said, "Hey, wait a minute, that's not right. That's not how it really is." No one of his disciples argued with him. They never argued with him when he said, "Go make disciples," baptizing them in the name of the Father. Jesus said, "I come in my Father's name." No one argued with him when he talked about the Son. They knew who the Son was. That he was standing in front of them. His name was Jesus. Baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. Well, what is the Holy Spirit? It is God's Spirit, God Himself. He said, I'll send you back the Comforter in my name. No wonder we're blessed. I said, no wonder we're blessed. No wonder the opportunity for the world to be blessed. No wonder, no wonder, no wonder, no wonder. In the midst of darkness, there's this little church. It's got a little bit of ray of light. He was born just as all babies were born. His childhood was common, like small children would have a common life. His body developed like any other boy's body would develop. His muscles strengthened. His bones matured. He knew the pain of sore muscles and the sting of salt in an open wound. He felt it all that you've ever felt in your life or ever will ever feel in your life. As an adult, he was weary enough to sit down at a well at John 4:6, and sleepy enough to doze off in a rocking boat in Mark 4:35-38. He became hungry in the wilderness and thirst on the cross. When the soldiers pounded the nails through his skin, 1,000 nerve endings cried for relief. As he hung limp on the cross, 2 human lungs begged for oxygen. If you think you have a hard time breathing, you can't imagine what being crucified does to your lungs. The Word, Spirit, became flesh. If you wonder if God understands you, He does. If you ever wonder if God understands what you're going through, He does. Ever felt rejected? He does. Ever felt lonely? He does. Ever felt spit upon? He does. If you ever wonder if God listens when you cry out, He does. If you ever wonder if God comprehends the challenges you face in your life every day, He does. The one who hears your prayers, the one who understands your pain, God put on a human body. Why? Oh, He could come down to that great 9-foot, 10-foot-tall divine divinity out of the eternities. I hear this saying often, people, through the years. I understand your pain. Only those who've gone through what you've gone through can really understand your pain. And I've had some people tell me that, I understand your pain. And I say in my mind, no, you don't. You haven't been what I've been through. I thank you for your comfort words. Thank you for your kind thoughts. But no, you haven't been where I've been. Jesus has. God has. If you stop and think for a moment of time why you need to worship Him, why you need to lift Him up, is because there's not one thing that you've ever encountered or will encounter that He has not encountered Himself. That's why He's worthy of all praise, all glory, all honor. We lift Him up. Magnify His name. Worthy is He. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Are you troubled in spirit? He was too. John 12 and 27. Are you anxious? So anxious you could die? He was too. Matthew chapter 26 and 28. Are you overwhelmed with grief? He was too. In John 11 and 35, shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept when he heard his friend had died. Have you ever prayed with the loud cries and tears? I have. He did too in Hebrews 5 and 7. You see, tonight I want you to understand, and I thank God I want you to understand, He gets you. I'm not telling you not to strive for goodness. I'm not telling you that. I'm not telling you not to strive for perfection. That word perfection in Hebrews means completeness, complete. I'm not telling you to walk around in your perfect, awesome condition. God wants you to do that. But somebody needs to hear this tonight, or maybe on our streaming, that God gets you. He gets you in your struggle. He gets you in your humanity. He gets you when it doesn't seem like, Father, if it be thy will, let this pass from me. Come on, God gets you. Why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to face the struggle and this strain and this and that? If it be thy will, let this pass from me. He cried out in agony as if great drops of blood mixed with his sweat fell from his brow. Then, like you and me, because it gets us, the humanity of Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. It's an amazing thing, the concept that God uses, that we first must die before the seed can bring forth life. It crucified this flesh. Why? That we might live. We struggle, yet He gets you. And here is the awesome part of that, when He said, I'll never leave you, forsake you, with you, every step of the way. Every step of the way. I wish I could wave something magical and say, okay, you're not going to go through that. You're not going to go through that in your life. You're not going to face that disease. You're not going to face this problem or that sorrow. No. That's the human life. But we have a comforter. A comforter. What's so amazing about this is, so human, He could touch His people. So mighty, He could heal them. So human, He could speak to you. So heavenly, He spoke with authority. So human, He could blend in unnoticed for 33 years. So mighty, He could change history and be unforgotten for 2,000 years. All man, yet all God. Some have pointed to the sinlessness of Jesus, and they would say, that's perfect evidence that He cannot fully understand us. If he never sinned, they reasoned, then How could he understand the full force of sin? If he never sinned, how can he feel what I've gone through in sinful life? Simple. He felt it more than we do. We give in. He never did. I said, we give in. He never did. We surrender sometimes a sin. He never did. He stood before the tsunami of imposing waves of temptation, and he never wavered. We do. In that matter, I can say tonight he understands it more than anyone ever lived understands it. And then in his greatest, grandest deed, he volunteered to feel the consequences of sin. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might know the righteousness of God. So Jesus didn't deserve to feel the shame, but he felt it. Sometimes you may not want to tell somebody, well, I'm a Pentecostal. Oh, you're one of those. You shout. What are you doing in your church service? You roll around on the floor? What do you do? Tell me. You jump over the benches? You walk to the top of the chairs? What do you do? Tell me. Silly people. Silly people. He didn't deserve to feel the shame, but he felt it. Jesus didn't deserve the humiliation, but he experienced it. Paul said it best this wise, I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed to lift my hands and worship him. Before he saved me, I danced out in the world. Why shouldn't I dance for my Savior? Before I was saved, I shouted and carried on. Why shouldn't I shout, lift up his name? For he alone saved me. He never sinned, yet he was treated like a sinner. Jesus became sin. All the guilt, remorse, and embarrassment, Jesus understands it. This is why prodigal sons and daughters can come home. Jesus understands it. Come on. He understands that he's waiting in the middle of the road for his prodigal son to come home. God gets it. You make mistakes. You make the wrong turns in life, wrong decisions, wrong actions, wrong influences. God gets it. But he's sitting in the middle of the highway, middle of the road, every day, knowing if you can ever turn it around in your mind that he loves you more than anything else, you will make your way back home. That's why I've got a hope. As long as Jesus hasn't come yet, there's hope for prodigal sons and daughters. There's hope for people who feel like they've really messed up. There's hope for people who feel like, I don't know if I got a second chance or a third chance or a fourth chance or a fifth chance. As many chances that God will give a person, take advantage of it. You might ask this pastor tonight, does any of this really matter? To the hypocrite, it does. To the person with the hangover and fuzzy memory about last night's party, it does. To the cheater, slanderer, gossiper, or scoundrel who comes to God with a humble spirit, it matters. Feel God and see if it matters. Feel Him and see if it matters. I'm not telling you to fail Him, but if you do, see if it matters to you that God came down and we become a high priest which can be touched with our infirmities. It matters when you get in trouble. It matters when you stumble. Why does all of that matter to this list of things? It matters because they need to know that they, the world, can approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive and find grace to help us in the time of need. Hebrews 4:16. He done it for humanity. To feel what you feel, to overcome what you struggle with, that when you have a need, you can come to the throne of grace with confidence in the time of your need. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody says, what good is a church? It's there in the time of need. What good is people who come faith for the house of God? Somebody may walk into the sanctuary in the time of need and we're there to encourage them. Yes, God can help you. Yes, God can make a way for you. Yes, God can strengthen you. Come home. Come to God. That's why He robed Himself in flesh. He felt what you felt, gone through things you've gone through. He understands. He gets it. Because Jesus is human, He understands humanity. Because He's divine, He can help you. Jesus is our high priest and able and willing to help in the time of need. One translation puts it, in the time of trouble. Wow. He gets it. He gets the frailty. He gets it. Somebody said, well, we didn't have a great move of God. You know why? Because you didn't move. Well, I didn't get what I came for. You know why? Because you did not turn loose of what you're holding on to. Sometimes you've got to turn loose to be able to grasp something else. Maybe you turn loose of your pride to grab a hold of humbleness. Turn loose of sin. Cast all your cares on Him because He careth for your soul. Why did He do that? Because He loved you so much, He came down, robed Himself in flesh, that He might get you free, unbound, loosened, powerful, Holy Ghost. I'm so glad God gets us. Wow. Let's lift your hands and love Him together right now. Shall we do that? Oh God, Lord God. As one songwriter said, you look beyond our faults and you see our needs. And you're the supplier of the needs of humanity. God, I'm so thankful that you love the humanity so much through the ages of time. God, that you came down and you know what it was like to go through every aspect of human life. Nothing that we ever face, and even in this 21st century, God, you know what we go through. You know the feeling of it. So thankful, God, so thankful. so thankful that you get us and you're able to restore us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God. Come on, let's praise him one more time, saints. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He's our high priest. Let's stand together, shall we? He's our high priest. So whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through in your life, I encourage you to hold on to one infallible truth that God is there for you or he wouldn't have come down to this earth and rubbed himself in flesh. Amen? Don't feel defeated when he's your victory.